This is One Man's Family. One Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Today, transcribed, we present Chapter 8, Book 72, entitled The Dinner That Was Interrupted. In her beautiful Sea Cliff house, 6 blocks straight down from the Barber family home on the ocean edge of San Francisco, Claudia Barbara Lacey stands alone at the wide living room windows looking out beyond the Golden Gate at an ocean turbulent under the gray fall sky. It is late afternoon, and the crackling fire in the fireplace sends long shadows racing up the walls. Claudia watches moodily as the fog rolls in, washing out all sight and dulling sound as its opaque grayness sweeps over the world. Her husband, Nicholas, is in England now on a prolonged business trip. But Claudia has a sense of being looked after. Some member of the family is always dropping in to see how she's getting along.
Hey, door's unlocked. May I come in?
Of course, Cliff. Come in.
Oh, it's not fit out for man or beast. Sky's full of fog, the air's full of wind, sidewalks are damp.
Oh, goodness, you make it sound inviting. Sit down.
Yeah, thanks. You heard from Nicky?
Not since Monday. How about a cup of tea?
No, thanks. I can't stay. Mom's expecting me. I kind of like to get back home in time to see Annie doesn't give himself a dry rub on a towel and call it a bath. You know, sometimes it takes 2 full tubs of hot water to get that boy clean.
You talk as though you took pride in it.
Sure, he's a real boy. Hey, how about some more light in this room?
No, Cliff, it's nice this way. I was watching the fog coming in. I like to see it erase the city the way it does sometimes.
Do you know something?
What?
I knew when I was over here this morning something was eating you.
Oh?
Yeah, oh. And yesterday, too.
I don't even remember yesterday.
Well, yesterday was your day for pacing the carpet.
Was it?
And take it from your very own twin, you have a pretty lonesome look when you pace the carpet.
I don't know what's the matter with me, Cliff. I really don't.
Yeah. What does Paul call it? The old winds of apprehension? Are they back again?
They're blowing a gale, Cliff.
Yeah. I saw it coming.
Oh, I know. Everybody in the family expects me to make a fool of myself because Rex Froome is back. As soon as he moved back to Seacliff, I could see it. I could see a thought behind everybody's eyes. Nicky's away. An old flame of Claudia's moved back to town. She'll make a fool of herself. Watch and see.
Well, on the other hand, I don't think anybody...
Cliff, don't you know this family better than that? They've just been waiting for me to do some foolish thing. Well, I haven't even talked to Rexford Froome. What do you think of that? I've seen him twice from my car, and I waved to him, and that's all.
Well, maybe it'd be better if you did see him. Maybe that's what's aiding you.
I'm not going to, Cliff.
And so you've hardly been out of the house lately.
I'm perfectly happy here.
You'll jump out of your skin if you stick around too much. You know that. Why don't you go off on a little trip?
Oh, how could I, Cliff? With Nicky away and the children here, how could I go anywhere?
Hey, Claudia, this door's unlocked again. Where are you?
Yes, Joan. Here in the living room.
I guess it must be Penny who leaves it unlocked. Oh, hi, Clifford.
Hi, Joan. How's my favorite niece?
Oh, swell. Hey, Claudia, I just saw Rexford Froome and his sister, Mrs. Abbott. Boy, is she a dish. You know who she looks like? A blonde Ingrid Bergman.
Oh?
Yeah, they were in an open car at a stoplight. And she had on a beret. Gosh, she's pretty. No wonder Paul goes over there all the time.
Paul? I didn't know that, Cliff.
Oh, he just drops in once in a while.
I see. Joan, Kenny phoned again.
Oh, dear.
Now, Joan, you can't just drop a boy that way. That's cruel not to even call him back.
Okay, I'll do it now. I'll get him on the upstairs phone.
Hey, Joan, what's the matter with Kenny?
Oh, he's such a baby. The next time I fall in love, it's going to be with somebody old enough to be my father.
Now, can you beat that? Last summer, she's battling everybody so she could see Kenny.
Cliff, what about Paul and Mrs. Abbott?
Oh, Paul's kind of a lonesome duck, you know?
I know he is. Up there at the top of the house in his studio, puttering around with his books and typewriter most of the time when he's not at the airfield. He hardly sees Nicolette at all anymore, does he?
Oh, yeah, they're just as friendly as ever. That'll never end, because that's the kind of a girl Nicolette is. Well, I gotta go and dunk my son in a hot tub.
Here's your hat. Don't forget it this time.
Boy, do I leave hats around places. Look, fella, you've got the screaming memes. I can see it. How about you and me going down to Carmel for a couple of days?
Well, that's sweet of you, Cliff, but I'm not running away from things anymore. Also, I'm not running to meet trouble.
You're going to stay right here in your little old nest and blow a gasket, huh?
If I feel an explosion coming, I'll get in touch with you immediately.
Is that a promise?
That's a promise.
Okay. Come on, lock the door with me. Wow, look at that fog.
Oh, Cliff, you can't see a thing. You'd better leave the car here and walk home.
Me? Driving through fog's duck soup for me.
And you've got a silver plate in your head to prove it.
You know what I like about you.
What?
You're so subtle. So long, Glow.
Goodbye, Cliff, dear.
Bye.
Bye.
Claudia, what are you doing out here?
Oh, you back down, Joan? Listen, the sounds are different in the fog.
Oh, brother, an aeroplane in this weather. It's kind of eerie. Come on in. You know, twice now, last night and just now, I found this front door unlocked.
Really?
How do you happen to forget to lock the door at night?
Well, I thought I'd checked it, June.
You want us to have a burglar or something?
All right, close it.
Maybe you just unconsciously wish for some excitement.
Now, where would you get hold of a full-grown idea like that?
Out of a book Paul made me read. Oh, hey, Jean, that startled me.
Answer it, darling.
Oh, it's Paul.
Well, that's the first time in years I've had a door slammed right in my face.
Oh, hey, not on purpose.
Blame the evening fog.
Right smack in my face. Well, how are you two?
Go on in and sit down. Here. I'll put some lights on.
Well, don't make elaborate arrangements. I can't stay.
He calls turning on a light elaborate arrangements.
Well, anyway, I'm just getting home from the airport, and I've got a date tonight.
Oh, with Ingrid Bergman?
Who?
Joan thinks Mrs. Abbott looks like Ingrid Bergman.
Oh, you do? Nonsense. She's prettier.
Joan, there is something different about him, just as I suspected.
Mm, he's had a haircut.
Oh, how do you like it, huh? I tried a new barber. I told him to cut a little shorter.
Paul, let me see your hands. Oh, Claudia, he just had a manicure.
Well, the girl was sitting there with nothing to do.
Man, don't I recognize those new shoes?
You do?
Aren't those what Nicky wears?
Not bad. How about it, Joan?
So you finally succumbed and went to Nicky's boot shop.
Well, I've been needing some new shoes.
Tell us about Christine Abbott, Paul. Is it true she's quite a pianist?
I'll tell you all about her sometime, Claudia, but just now... Well, where's your phone, anyway?
No, Paul, wait. I want to talk to you. Wait just a moment. Hello? Oh, Hazel. No, I haven't. Well, wait a minute. Joan, have you seen Margaret?
Not today.
You haven't, Paul?
No. What time is it, anyway?
It's getting pretty late for her to be off.
Hazel, we haven't seen her. Have you phoned over to Mother and Dad's? She might be there.
Everywhere in the neighborhood I can think of, Claude. No, she isn't at Frome's. I guess I'm just going to make a report into me every hour on the hour. Yes, the boys are out with Dan. This house is as empty as... Well, if I don't find her pretty soon, I'll call back. Claudia, the doorbell's ringing. I'll have to go.
Any trace of her?
Not yet, Father, but I'm sure she's just around the neighborhood.
Well, then why can't we find her?
That's what I don't know.
Andy said she was over at Frome's earlier this afternoon. This is what comes of letting her run wild over the neighborhood, Hazel. If you remember, I said at the time I didn't like having her take up with every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Now, Father, Margaret doesn't take up with every Tom,
what
Dick.
Do we know about that Frenchman, that chef over at Frome's place, eh? What sort of training is it for a little girl to run in and out of a stranger's house?
I've talked to Mr. Frome on the telephone, Father. He said Margaret wasn't over there.
But she had been there. Hazel, let me have Frome's telephone number. Have you got it?
You aren't going to talk to him, are you? Please, I just did.
I'll talk to that confounded Frenchman. Where's the number? I'll get hold of the kitchen staff and talk to them. I'll know whether they're lying or not.
Very well, if you insist. Here.
I should think so. This is no time for anyone to be out, especially a little girl.
Father, worried as I am, I'm sorry I told you. I'm sure there's some very simple explanation.
Yeah, those Frome's. There's been nothing but trouble since they've moved into the neighborhood. Hello, Frome? This is Mr. Henry Barber. We're looking for my granddaughter, Margaret. Yes, I know you did, but did you talk to that man in the kitchen, that Frenchman of yours, whatever his name is? Oh, you did, eh? Well, would you mind switching me over to the kitchen phone to what's his name again? Fumagalli. Yes, let me talk to Fumagalli. Here, thank you, Mr. Probst.
Please, Father.
If I don't get satisfaction this way, I can always go over there. Hello, Fumagalli. This is Henry Barber. My little granddaughter, Margaret, has been missing for about 2 hours, and I... Huh? Oh, you sent her away? You what? Nuisance? What are you talking about, nuisance?
Nuisance, is that what he's saying?
Huh? What time was this? And you sent her home, you say? Speak up, man, so I can understand you.
Father, give me that phone.
Won't do you any good, can't understand a word he says.
Monsieur Fumagalli, this is Mrs. Murray, Margaret's mother. Yes. Well, I'm sorry she's bothered you. I see. Well, I apologize.
Yeah, what are you apologizing to him
It
for?
Won't happen again. Thank you.
Huh?
That just shows you how wrong you can be sometimes.
What's this?
Margaret simply insinuated herself into that kitchen.
Huh?
That chef didn't want her around, Father. He taught her to make cakes and cream puffs to get rid of her.
I don't believe it. I don't believe a word of it.
She's been a nuisance over there.
Margaret? Why, she's the sweetest, most unassuming little girl that ever... Yeah, what was that?
It came from the basement. Margaret must be down there. Whenever her feelings are hurt lately, she goes down there and hides. There's an old cot in the workroom. Come on, Father, I think I know where she is. Why in the world didn't I think of it before?
Yeah, that Frenchman. Nuisance, eh?
Oh, wait, Father. Look out for these steps. They're steep. Father, look.
Oh, poor little tyke. Oh, I've been crying.
Margaret. Margaret, dear.
Oh, no, please.
Margaret, honey.
Huh? Yes, it can't be that bad.
But it is. It's worse. I think I can go away someplace and die. Oh, Mama.
Here, now, Margaret, darling.
Let me hold it.
Careful, that old cot isn't too strong.
There. Yes, yes. Now, my dear, what is this all about?
Oh, Grandfather.
Huh? What happened?
I accidentally knocked over his bowl of eggs.
Hmm?
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, it was awful. My shoulder just happened to touch them. Monsieur Fumagalli had the bowl on the edge of the shell.
Yes?
Well, that's not exactly catastrophic.
Oh, Grandfather, if you could have seen the way he looked at me. He said I should never come back again.
Did
you? Darling, it still isn't the end of the world.
But now I can never learn French cooking, and then I haven't got a French chef for a friend.
Yeah, so much the better.
Listen, the phone's ringing. I'll have to go up. You two come along.
We'll be right up, Hazel.
He said I shouldn't even walk past the Frome's house anymore, just to keep out of his sight.
Oh, he did he?
Yes. And he said he'd lie if I moved to another country entirely.
Now, do you see why it's sometimes a good idea not to pick up with strangers on a moment's notice? Yes, yes. Here. Come along with you. We'll go up and join your mother.
Yes, we found her, Mother. Oh, she'd had a little personal tragedy and hid in the basement.
That's better. Now, let's see a smile, huh?
All right, Mother, I'll tell him. Bye, dear. Oh, Father, Mother says you're having an early dinner because Paul's going out.
Huh? Where's he going?
I don't know, but she wants you to come right along, if you will.
Yes, yes. Where's my hat? Now, Margaret, you come over and see me tomorrow afternoon, and I'll read you some French history. Huh? You ever hear of a man named Napoleon? He was a hoodlum from another period. Yes, yes. You come over tomorrow, Margaret.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye, Grandfather.
Goodness, that fog. Would you like a scarf?
No, no. Just turn up my coat collar. Goodbye.
Bye. Now then, let's cheer up, shall we? This is a good day after all because you've learned a valuable lesson.
What valuable lesson?
To always be very, very sure you're wanted before you drop in anywhere.
Well, I'll never go over there again as long as I live. You know what he did, that big French chef? He jumped up and down in his white hat and yelled, Nuisance! Nuisance!
It's all over now, darling. Remember the lesson and forget the rest. Come along now and help me get dinner. They're just the two of us tonight. We'll eat in the kitchen.
Hmm? And you know something else? Uncle Paul's been getting a lot of new clothes since Mr. Frome's sister came there to live. I'll bet that's why they have to eat early over at Grandfather's, so Uncle Paul can go and see Mr. Frome's sister.
Okay, I'll see you get some. Thank you.
Who is that, Clifford?
Take a look at this, Mom. Two new suits sent over special delivery for Paul.
Well, he needed some new clothes.
Yeah, but specially tailored. Here, look at the label inside the coat. He's never had a suit made there before. Oh, man, is he putting on the dog.
He earns his money, so I guess he can spend it any way he wants to. He does seem to be pretty well taken by this new girl, though, doesn't he?
Taken? He's hit right between the eyes. I don't think I've ever seen Paul act like this. Wouldn't it be funny if he up and married the girl?
Oh, I don't think we have to worry about Paul doing anything foolish.
Dad would certainly tear the roof off if it happened.
Yes, and your father's attitude won't help matters one bit. The only way to handle Paul is to give him full rein.
Well, it really would be strange not to have Paul around the house anymore after all these years.
Well, what do you mean by that?
You don't think he'd stay here if he got married, do you?
Well, he hasn't said anything about getting married, has he?
No, but judging from all the new clothes and the time he's spending over at the Fromes, it wouldn't surprise me.
Nonsense.
Maybe.
Well, don't talk like that around your father. He's upset and cranky enough about those people as it is.
Yeah, how about you, Mom? You wouldn't like the idea yourself much, would you?
What idea?
Paul getting married.
I've always thought marriage would be the best thing in the world for Paul. To the right girl, of course.
Yeah, but wasn't that mostly when you felt pretty sure that there was no possibility of it happening?
Oh, I don't think that's very funny, Clifford. Your father and I have done everything possible to bring Paul and Nicolette together.
Yeah, but that's what I just said. Maybe down deep you felt there wasn't any chance of that coming about.
Clifford, are you deliberately trying to upset me?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mom. I was half kidding. Forget it. I think I better take these suits up to Paul's studio.
Clifford.
Yeah?
Have you met this sister of Mr. Frome's, this Mrs. Abbott?
No. Just seen her go by in the car a few times. Oh, she's a honey. There's no doubt about that.
How old is she?
I think Paul said she was 32.
Well, what happened to her husband?
Killed in an auto accident. He played piano in a dance band.
I see. Oh, that must be your father. Henry!
Yes, yes, Fanny, I'm coming.
Wish I'd taken these suits upstairs before he got here. He doesn't sound in a very good humor.
I tell you, Fanny, if that Frome and his household don't stop heaping indignities on his family, I'm going to take legal action against him. There must be some remedy in the law to protect a citizen from the Fromes and Fumiganese of this world. I'll talk to Jack this evening. Eh? We have a lawyer in the family. We'll make use of him.
Henry, for heaven's sake.
Huh?
Stop stomping and storming. Why don't you ignore them if you, they annoy you?
Do you realize what happened today? The chef, mind you, had... What have you got there, Clifford?
Just a couple of suits, Dan.
Yeah, Paul's no doubt.
Yeah, he needed some new clothes.
Fanny, we've got to do something, I tell you. When those people can turn a man of Paul's intelligence into a clothes horse, it's time to call a halt.
Henry, Paul's a grown man. We can't...
Exactly my point. He's not only grown, he's middle-aged. But here he is being twisted about the little finger of a scheming Lorelei. That's exactly what that woman is, and he can't seem to see it. He's bewitched.
Please, Henry. Can't you see you've got me at my wit's end? You've been going on like this now for weeks until I don't know what's true and what's just your unreasoning prejudice.
Exactly, Fanny, which is further proof.
Hey, Dad... Take it easy, will you? Mom really doesn't look well.
Hmm?
Oh, I'm all right, Henry.
Come on, Mom. Come on up to your room. I think you ought to lie down.
No, no. It's almost dinner time. You take Paul's suit up.
Hello?
Oh, there's Paul now. Now, Henry, don't say anything to him.
Oh, hey, I got your suits. They just came.
Oh, fine. I was wondering if they'd get here. Hello, Mom. You stand somebody kissing you with a cold nose?
Paul, dear.
Hi, Dad.
Yes, we're having an early dinner again this evening, I understand, so you can be about your philandering.
Henry, please.
Oh, that's pretty rugged language, Dad. I'm sorry if I'm inconveniencing anyone. Matter of fact, I won't be having dinner here tonight.
Excuse me. I've got to go and see if dinner's coming along all right.
What's the matter? Anything wrong with Mom?
Do you wonder? You've hardly had a meal with us in the past 2 weeks.
I don't see what that has to do with Mom's feeling.
You would if you haven't been blinded.
Hey, you two. Let's not make it any tougher on her.
Clifford, if you don't mind, I'd like to have a word alone with Paul.
Okay. Want me to take your suits up to the top of the house for you, Paul?
No, just hang in the hall closet, please. I'll take them up.
Okay, just do that little thing.
Thanks, Cliff. Now, what is it, Dad? I haven't got an awful lot of time.
Yes, so I've observed. You haven't had any time of late so far as your own family is concerned.
Is that what you wanted to tell me?
No.
Now, look, Dad, I know perfectly well how you feel about Frome and his sister, so I can't see what there is to discuss. I presume I'm right in assuming that it is Frome or his sister you want to talk about.
Paul, let me ask you one question.
All right.
Just what are your intentions in regard to this whole matter?
You mean toward Mrs. Abbott?
Yes.
I don't know. Why?
Why? Well, don't you suppose that your mother and I have an interest in your future?
I appreciate an interest, but I think I'm capable of making my own decisions. I'm certainly old enough. And if I make any mistakes, I can assure you I'll shoulder all the consequences and all the blame. So as far as I can see, you have nothing to worry about.
I'm not so sure about that.
In heaven's name, Dad, how can you pass judgment on somebody you don't even know? And why don't you know her? Because I'm afraid to ask her to my own home. I'm afraid she'd be made so unwelcome that I'd be embarrassed. Not so much for her, but for you. Because you'd take good care to let her know that she was an outsider and not welcome in these holy precincts. Why you feel that way is beyond me, but I know you do. So if I'm gone every night, it's because I have no other choice. I can't bring the Fromes here, so I go to their house. I like them. I like them a lot. Furthermore, I don't care who knows it. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got to get dressed to go out. Out to the Fromes.
Well, I wonder what's happened to our Paul. He's late.
Our Paul? Aren't you getting a little possessive, Rex?
Maybe I should have said your Paul. Does that appeal to you more?
He really is pretty swell, isn't he? He likes me, Rex.
Department of Understatement. You've done something to that fellow, Chris.
Why do you suppose he's never married in all these years?
Yeah, I've wondered about that.
Somehow, I find it very hard to believe that a man like Paul has never been able to get over losing his wife all those years ago in France. He told me about her the other night. However, maybe there is such a thing as a one-woman man. You suppose so?
No. I think he'd be impatient with an idea like that. No, I think Paul is a sort of unconscious perfectionist, an idealist.
But we never achieve an ideal. This is a realistic world we live in. We have to compromise with our ideal.
Tell that to him. Might be good for him.
I think I will.
You might scare him off. It's not a very subtle approach.
Why should I try to fool him or myself? We're earthy people, you and I. You're fighting it.
What do you mean I'm fighting it?
Well, everything you've done since you came into all this money proves it. Wanting this big house, servants, coming back here where we were the gardener's children. That's all an attempt to live down what you really are. And why should you? I like being what I am. I take pride in it.
I wish I had your sense. I think I'll tell Paul he's an idiot if he doesn't ask you to marry him.
We'd never see him again.
I'm not so sure about that. I wouldn't be surprised if... Oh, he's here.
I'll let him in.
You do no such thing, peasant. Wait, I have an idea. Sit down at the piano.
What? What for?
Never mind. Do what I say. That's it. And now play something.
Rags, Paul's standing out there in the fog.
And do what I tell you, or I'll keep him standing out there.
But it's so silly. Rags.
You make a wonderful picture. Now improvise a little something. Perfect. Now I'll go let him in.
You're an awful ham, Rex.
Well, what a charming picture.
Hello, Paul.
Oh, please don't stop. It sounded lovely. You look lovely sitting there.
It was staged.
What?
Yes, it was, really. Rex made me sit down here and play. He thought it'd be very effective as you came in.
Yeah, well, he was right. It was.
I told him he was an awful ham, but I'm probably just as bad to have gone ahead and done it. Where'd he go, anyway?
Said he was going out to see about dinner. I'm sorry to be so late.
Oh, you're not late at all. At least for dinner. We never eat early, you know that.
I was held up at home. Little family argument.
Nothing serious, I hope.
Oh, no. My dad and I have to have a set to every once in a while to clear the atmosphere.
Oh. Don't you want to sit down, Paul?
No, I like leaning over the piano and looking at you this way. Do you mind?
I like it. Aren't you wearing something new?
Mm-hmm.
Very becoming.
Thank you. Won't you play something? You've promised to do it several times and you've never done it.
I know. It's pride, I guess. I'm out of practice and I'm afraid I won't do well and then you'll be disappointed.
Well, listen, with my knowledge of music, you could play chopsticks and I'm sure I'd think it was wonderful.
You mean like this?
Well, you make even that sound good. You know, you have a way of giving the most prosaic things an aura they've never had before. You know that, Chris?
I think that argument with your father was good for you. I like the mood you're in.
Am I in a mood?
Well, not a mood exactly. Do you suppose I could say you're not quite as reserved as you usually are?
I suppose you could try it.
You're not quite as reserved as you usually are. You didn't bite me or anything.
Do I give the impression of being... Oh, what's the word I want? Austere, maybe?
No. No, I think restrained, cautious would be a better interpretation. I think there's a great big question mark underneath that crust of sophistication, Paul.
You know, Rex told me almost the same thing the first time I talked to him after he moved here.
Maybe that's where I got the idea. You see, we do talk about you behind your back occasionally.
How do I make out in these discussions?
You know very well how you come out. Rex adores you.
Hmm. And the sister? What about her?
The sister is inclined to withhold information in the belief that her attitude has been quite eloquent enough.
Hmm. I need an awful lot of reassurance, you know. You call me cautious, restrained, and that must stem from some kind of inferiority feeling.
Why should you barbers feel inferior? You should leave that for us Freilishes. Why, when I was wearing pigtails around here, I thought you barbers were the ultimate, the last word in grandeur. And now, here's the heir apparent, the eldest son, standing here, talking nice to me. Isn't that crazy?
Hmm. Isn't crazy at all. It seems just the way it ought to be to me.
Something's happened to you, Paul. You should have had an argument with your father more often. I like the way it affects you. I hope you weren't arguing about me. I'll bet that's it. Your father said some uncomplimentary things and you're trying to make up for it because you feel guilty. Oh, don't look so worried. I know your father doesn't like us.
Oh, but I...
Oh, please. Paul, dear, don't worry about it. I wouldn't have mentioned it if I thought it was going to cause
you... Well, how about you two? You think you'll be ready to eat pretty soon?
Oh, fine. Anytime, Rex.
Think it's an excellent idea.
It isn't quite ready. It'd be a couple of minutes yet. Did you get her to play for you, Paul?
Well, I didn't get very far. She's stubborn.
That does it. That does it. After dinner, I'll play till you're sick of hearing me.
A feast or a famine? Well, that's the way it goes with a woman. You know... Was that our phone?
I think it was.
Well, I'll get it. I wonder who could be phoning us. Maybe we're starting to get popular.
Do forgive me, Paul, for being stupid a while ago.
You weren't stupid?
Well, thoughtless then. It was so unnecessary to bring up your father, and I think it hurt you.
I wasn't thinking about myself.
It's for you, Paul. Your father wants to talk to you on the phone.
My father? Excuse me, please. Well, that's the first time he's done this.
Is there anything wrong?
I don't know. The old man isn't very communicative with me. Just said, let me speak to Paul. He barked out like a top sergeant and then added weakly, if you please. Honestly, Chris, I try not to let that old boy get under my skin, but sometimes I feel like going over there and popping him right smack on the nose.
Why? I feel sorry for him. Really, I do. Anybody who's... Oh, Paul, something wrong?
I'm terribly sorry. I've got to go home. My mother isn't well.
Paul, I'm so sorry.
It's a wretched thing to do, walk out just as dinner's ready, but it bothers me. Must be serious or they'd never have called me.
Oh, forget the dinner. I hope it isn't as bad as you fear.
I don't know. Something's been hanging over the heads of the barbers for some weeks now. Maybe it's finally descended upon us.
You've just heard Chapter 8, Book 72 of One Man's Family, written, produced, and transcribed under the direction of Carlton E. Morse. Chapter 9, entitled Dr. Thompson Opens Paul's Eyes, will come to you next week at this same time.
Listen today to NBC for stellar programs. Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontanne co-star in Theater Guild on the Air. Phil Harris and Alice Faye present another rib-tickling 30 minutes of laugh-filled comedy entertainment. And Sam Spade drops around to explain his latest caper. It's all great listening. So tune to Harrison Fay, Sam Spade, and London Fontaine on Theatre Guild On the Air. Today on NBC. One Man's Family comes to you from California. There's a $26,000 jackpot on Hollywood Calling today on NBC.